Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast with your host, Greg Fearon. And today I have my fellow coach, JJ, on with me. We're going to shoot the breeze about training, nutrition, and everything to help you get into shape without listening to influencers. Welcome, JJ.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm JJ. I currently coach women to lose weight, feel confident, and without the need for that fad dieting, and just learning to love the skin that they're in, no matter what age. So obviously my clients are a certain age. So yeah, we have a few sort of, you know, the kind of age things creep in, and yeah. So it's more about just bringing that youth back. And just breaking some myths and, yeah, just getting them feeling young, I guess, younger.
Awesome. So, obviously, we've conversed for a long time and Yes. We've got some very similar...
Long overdue.
Yeah, exactly. You've been hiding from me in lockdown, right? But it's okay. I forgive you. We're cool now. We're all right. So, we've obviously got some similar views on lots of things. So, just trying to give me your philosophy on training and nutrition and how it should be done.
I think for me personally, obviously coming from a background of dance. So obviously, I think you're aware, I used to be a professional dancer. Mm-hmm. And very successful. And it was always about fitness and training and nutrition and how I looked. But obviously now being in late 40s, you can imagine back then I've probably done every single fad diet possible. And for me, I think with the women that I work for, and obviously myself, because obviously being prep for bikini competitions, I think the dieting and training, or the diet and exercise, I always say to my clients, no, we are now trying to break that niche, because I think diet and exercise, sometimes the words can be quite negative. Mm-hmm. So I always say, and also restrict for me, it just screams restriction, because as soon as you say, like, we're going to diet and exercise, it's kind of like straight away, it's like you can feel the stress. So for me, I think I say to my women, it's about training or nourishing the body so that you allows you to train well, and then the body should do what it needs to do, i.e. lose weight, tone, whatever the goal may be. But it's just that for me, I just think we focus so much on the nutrition and the negative side sometimes that I try and switch in, because as long as you're nourished and you're healthy and you're happy and you're feeling good and you've got energy, you're going to train really well. And then you start to enjoy both. Does that make sense?
Yep. Totally makes sense. And yeah. There's something that you touched on just there, but I wrote a post about it this morning on my LinkedIn profile.
Oh my gosh.
But it was literally about the fact that I think a lot of the ladies we coach, we kind of do similar age groups, tend to want to work out loads but not train.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a difference between the two?
So obviously, you know, when you have someone come to you, you want to make sure that activity levels are good. Mm-hmm. But I find that, sometimes certain parts of training will take more focus than what actually needs to be done. And then obviously with a massive focus on food, because most people think it's the food. Mm-hmm. Actually, sometimes it's a bit of everything. I would agree that the focus sometimes isn't on what it should be. Mm-hmm. But again, I guess my next big birthday is 50. So it's kind of like, I know that era, like, of diet and exercise, it's not really been about training. It's training is like, I don't want to get big, you know, like it. And as much as people say, or women say, like, you know, I know that it doesn't work like that, but I do think it's still there. And trust me, I say to my clients, like, it is not as easy to get big. I have been trying to gain muscle for 7 months and I've probably gained very minimal, really. Mm-hmm. But it's not as easy as you think, unless you've got the most amazing genes, please give them to me. But it's not that, you know, like, people, you're scared of the protein, like, I don't want to get, you know, it's kind of like protein has so many other different benefits and it's got nothing to do with, you know.
It's not going to turn you into the Incredible Hulk after you have a protein shake, is it? It's not like you're going to drink it and
I've been trying to grow my glutes for like 3 years, and it's like literally I get a tiny bit every year. It's hard work. It's hard, hard work, and that is not going to happen through steps.
That just leads me on to another point. Like, often I think people don't train to the level that they need to train. I think there's a misconception of, well, if I do some HIIT every day, then I'm going to have that lean toned look, when it doesn't quite work like that.
No. And I think the focus is so much, and I speak from experience, because obviously before I did this, I was obviously a dancer. I then fell pregnant. And then it was kind of like, I can't do my job no more. And then all of a sudden you have a human that you're looking after, and you become the biggest back burner ever. So I stopped exercising, I stopped dieting, I stopped everything, and I just got bigger and bigger. And every year I was like, it's my age, or it's because I've got a child, I don't have time. And then it was my thyroid. I was convinced 100%.
Yeah.
It's my thyroid. Yeah. I had it all checked. And it wasn't. It was just the fact that I just was not managed. It's not just exercise or dieting. I just wasn't managing my life very well. My stress levels. And everything. Like, he had everything, and I literally was just like nothing. And it wasn't until I had a health scare that you kind of think, this needs to change, because this is not healthy. And it's not good also as a mum to think, I want to be here when he gets married, and I've got to look after myself, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So you obviously mentioned you're prepping for a bikini competition.
Yes.
I know you've done preps before.
Yeah.
So do you just want to explain what is a bikini competition? Because I think a lot of ladies don't know. I think they just think
bodybuilding. Yeah. So a bikini competition is, obviously it is bodybuilding, so it's very aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And I am going to put my hands down, because I say to clients when I share my journey, don't compare yours to mine, because mine is extreme. So it's an extreme aesthetic goal. I've spent 7 months trying to grow shoulders, rear delts, and my glutes, so that when I lean down this time, I've got a nicer shape. Yes. But it's tough. Like, well, it's not tough. It's just very organized. So I get all my training in. And the idea is to get nice and small aesthetically and get in this tiny toothpick of a bikini and strut around on stage in some stripper heels. If you ask me why I want to do it,
yeah,
I guess the dancer in me is like, that's the nearest I'm going to get to being back on stage.
Yep. And
it started with someone telling me that I couldn't do it in amount of time a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And me being me is kind of like, okay, we'll see. So then I set myself a goal, and I'm not going to lie, halfway through I was like, why did I set this goal? Because this is hard work. But then I stepped on stage and absolutely loved it. So I think for me, the reason I do it is I love it. I am a very disciplined person. But also I like to show others, I guess, women, that just because you hit a certain age doesn't mean you can't go and do stuff that you want to do. I'm probably battling perimenopause. Mm-hmm. Is it harder? Yeah. Do I need to manage my hormones a bit better? Yeah. But it's still exactly the same. And probably if anything, this prep compared to my last prep, I'm in a completely different place, but I'm older. So you kind of like, how does that work? You know?
So what was the difference between your previous prep and this prep?
Okay. So previous prep was bad coach, good coach, and maybe a bit of a mental mindset and a good mindset. So before I was on, probably I had a bit of metabolic damage, even though I am a coach, you know, I've still spent years before I embarked on the journey trying to lose, gain. So a bit of metabolic damage, and that's probably from the excuses of I've got a thyroid problem. So I guess I would yo-yo at one point before I became a coach. Loads of food, no food. Loads of food, no food. Mm-hmm. Eat loads of food, go out and do loads of cardio the next day, or train, eat no food. Eat, you know, like no consistency. So I think metabolically I wasn't very good. So I was on like 1,300 calories, which is like child calories. And I know there'll be women there thinking, I'm on 1,300 calories.
We're going to come back to that bit later.
But anyway, 1,300 calories, an hour on the Stairmaster in the morning at 6 o'clock, an hour fasted, like dying. Training six times a week I was training. I was not dropping weight. Every time I got on the scale, and I know about scale weight now, but when you're balls deep in prep, excuse my French, but you are so focused that even I started to be like, on the scales, off the scales, on the scales, off the scales. It's not moving. I can't step on stage. And then eventually I just must have stressed myself out so much that the body wasn't playing ball. And I just thought, that's it. I'm not going to make it. But if I look at pictures back then and I showed you pictures now, and I showed my new coach, he was just like, oh my God, you were so ready. But I literally by then had convinced. But now I had a coach then that was kind of like, scales aren't dropping, need to drop a pound a week, scales aren't dropping. No hormonal fluctuations, didn't care when my cycle was due, didn't care, like, yeah, all of that stuff. Now I know that. Now this coach has, we've spent 7 months in a recomp phase, which I did not want to do at all. The thought of getting bigger was like, no, like I don't want to get bigger. You know, I want to get lean, but metabolically it needs to be done. So now I'm on, so I've just come down. I think I'm on 2,950 cows. I train four times a week. And I've got four cardio sessions for 20 minutes, which is just on my little bike behind, very steady, no stress. And probably some days my steps are like 2000, but that's okay because it's not, it doesn't matter for what I'm doing and for the amount of food. I'm now 2 weeks into prep and I'm dropping nicely. We're not moving calories. He put my cardio up 5 minutes this week, 5 minutes per session, like joy. And I just feel better. So I think now metabolically, my body's just burning more calories. I'm just in a much better place. I'm not stressed. I'm sleeping well. I feel good. But I do love it. I do love prepping my food. I love the power of just doing it. And for me, it's just, I love it. It's not even a chore. When I first start, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start prep. Woo! All motivated. Really good. Next day comes, you know, when you get your plan, you're like, shit, got to do it now. Give me a couple of weeks once I've built those morning routines, bits and pieces, and then you know that discipline's there. Then it gets me going, it keeps me going.
So that was a really good point that you touched on the 1,200, because I feel like, and ladies who are listening to this, don't be mad with me. Every woman in the world is on 1,200 calories because my fitness pal says that's your calories. And I'm just going to say that they're scared of. Like if they go a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I have, you know, like you, I'll have women that come to me that are on really low calories. And, you know, because they want to lose weight, it's hard to understand that eating more will actually help you. So we have to do a lot of work on that. A lot of work and also just trying to bring those calories back to maintenance at least for a good couple of weeks to try and let the body, because there's just nowhere to go. Like, and it's exactly how I was 2 years ago. The body just rebels. Unfortunately, as women, the hormones kick in, you know, we're made to reproduce. It's like the body just screaming emergency. So my sort of like, you know, that eat and please don't be cross, but that kind of like eat less, move more doesn't really run with me, because if you're metabolically not in a good place or your gut's not good or something's off, that's not always, or not all the time, not always going to work. And I do understand that some women will be like, you know, I only have this, but actually, you know, you sort of think, do you? Do you really know? Because sometimes it's when you actually get the breakdown, they think they're on low calories, but when you actually go in, it's not the case at all. So and then some go from one to the other so much that the body never ever gets a chance to just regulate and do what it needs to do. I do get it, because I've been there as well, like where you think, you know, like even now I'm still helping my girls understand that, you know, they'll eat something and then I'll say, okay, what did you, and the scale goes up. I'm like, you've got more food in the digestive tract. It hasn't quite run its way through. Unless you're eating the same food, like myself, every single day at the same time with the same amount of water, and even mine will change depending on what luteal phase, you know, what phase in my cycle I'm at, you can't worry about that. And I think that's the thing, isn't it?
And, like that. And that's having the beauty of having a coach, because we understand all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the internet is rife with just very simple statements.
Yeah.
And I think to ladies, it's very, oh, what if I just eat less, move more?
Yeah.
I'm going to get that physique. And we're like, no.
Go on. I don't know about you, but I say to women, like, okay, so just say the scale played ball this morning and it told you you'd hit your ideal goal weight. You're now 8 stone 10. Amazing. Look in the mirror and tell me, are you happy? You've hit your goal weight, but look in the mirror and tell me, are you happy? Well, no, because I've still got this. So then the scale weight needs to go to the side.
Yep.
And we need to bring it back to where we are, because even for me this year, I'm in a different place, like scale white ways. And if I actually looked at it, I'd be like, oh, but body wise, I am as solid as a rock and more tighter than I've ever been. But my weight's up. My weight's well up from before. But if I showed you before and afters, it's kind of like, what do you mean? So but again, I empathize because I have years ago done exactly the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's the big difference though, between scale weight and body composition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the scale, because of people like, I'm going to name names, I don't care. Slimming World.
Yeah.
Weight Watchers, where every result is about the scale. That doesn't tell your body fat.
Yeah. 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 And that really irritates the crap out of me, because especially for Slimming World, like, which is one of the reasons I guess you and I do coaching, because it is the accountability, and I do understand the accountability. And there's sometimes I understand with these fads that I call them, or dieting strategies, is that, you know, sometimes they have a placebo effect. So, and that's not a bad thing because it makes you aware. But I don't, you know, like if I go on day 14 and I'm 2 days before my cycle or 2 days after, I get on that scales, they're going up. But you, Nelly down blooming Slimming World doesn't say to me, JJ, are you due on? Hello? Like, and I don't care what anyone says. Even if you're losing body fat, maybe some will still drop countless. But I know for a fact I'm still dropping, but the scale will not tell me I've dropped. It will rock up a good 4 pounds. And I do share this with clients. I will be like, here we go. Look, from one day to the next, let's just jump on the scale. And I'm about to do something in my level up sessions, my online girls, is I'm going to get them to weigh morning and night for 7 days. So they could, but and they're like, they're going to be like, but I think you can really see the fluctuations. Like, hold on a second. Like, where did that come from? Like, so how can you go and weigh on a Sunday or at 9 o'clock in the morning and be praised for not or gaining a pound? And I see it on Instagram so much, like, oh, I put on a pound, or I stayed the same. Like, yeah, take me to Slimming World or don't take me to Slimming World.
Like, I think when lockdown is over, we should go to a meeting. Like me.
I'd like to make my own one up, you know, like, but one that's like good.
Well, you're kind of doing it now. You're doing it now.
Like a good one, you know, the one where you actually ask questions about the run up to it. And yeah, no, it's it does freak me. Keto freaks me. Yes, it has its place. Yes.
Why does keto freak you? Why does keto freak you? Let's go in. Let's go.
Because we go back to the scale weight again. You know, you're not eating any carbs. Like, no, well, you are actually in the veg, but carbs, complex. But it's all about the scale. Go on keto for like 6 days and go back to a normal diet for one. Your scale's going back up again. You haven't lost body fat. And I find it so frustrating that it is not the only way to lose weight. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, certain insulin, yes, I am 100%. But even then, really, just a healthy, balanced diet. And I just think there's no need to cut out any kind of macronutrient. And it came to my massively this month. I had a new client start. And I always get new clients to go through their food. So I like to know their habits so that I'm not going to come in and just change everything. You just kind of want to know. And she listed all this food to me. And I was like, whoa, that sounds like my food. But even then, it sounds like my breakfast because it was like all day. And I look in it and I'm like, where is your fats? Where are your fats? I'm not joking. Like, anyway, she said, I said to her, I am surprised you have either not done something to your husband or like an emotional wreck, because I'm looking at this thinking there's no fats in there. And we need dietary fats for so many reasons. One being hormonal. Skin really bad all around here. And then she literally said, I'm a mess hormonally, I feel all over the place. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, this was given by another person in the industry. And it was shocking, like proper shocking. So now she's got first check in this week. I'm hoping to share this, it'll be really exciting. But she's literally crying because she can eat like a bagel with some turkey bacon and egg. And she's having food that she enjoys. Obviously, she's got damage there, but it's very scary. And for me, keto does that. I don't care whether like fats and carbs are energy. I just think there's, unless it's a real medical desperate, and the doc, but even then I'm still like, I'm going against science. I'm kind of like, do you know what? Healthy, balanced diet. Well, we need all.
I totally agree. Like even the science literally now, even for type 2 diabetics, like carbs, it's actually calories that has a bigger impact than having carbs on remission of diabetes.
Foods you eat as well, depending on what, yeah. So for me, so when it comes to those sachets, I'm like, but sometimes on media, I have to just swipe because I'm sure. But I guess also as well, like, anyone can be a consultant for anything, can't they? And I'm not knocking that, it's amazing, but I find it hard when it's pushed and you don't know the behind of the basics. Does that make sense? I might be coming across like a complete a-hole right about now.
No. I think it's important because we're both passionate about what we do, right? And we've both studied for years. We've coached people, we're in the trenches, we've been through it ourselves. But then people are saying, well, if you take this little sachet, it's gonna change your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So also B vitamins if you need some energy, you know, when you're just like, there are natural alternatives.
No. I wanna be in ketosis in 20 minutes. Well, of course you're gonna be in ketosis because you're gonna pee half the ketones out. So when you do the thick, you're gonna look like you're in ketosis.
You know what it is for me? It's marketing around certain things, because they prey on women that are desperate to lose weight, you know. And some of my clients come to me are desperate. They've tried hundreds of different ways, you know. You can see it, and I think that's why I get annoyed being a woman, because you think, you know, you're preying on that emotion, which I know is marketing, but I guess for you and me, we're the ones that pick up the pieces. You know, like, I'm doing online sessions weekly now to break myths from outside influences, because that's the problem sometimes. But so-and-so does this, so-and-so does this, so-and-so, oh, I'm going to try. And it's just like, stay in your lane. Like, literally, just now.
It's really hard, I think, at the minute, because obviously we've got the lockdown. Yeah. And what I've found is it's a lot of the beauty industry have started to sell these products.
Yes.
And I understand they want to make a living.
Yeah.
But they've got no nutrition training. Yeah. No, nothing.
Yeah.
They've got no clue. It drives me bonkers.
It's hard. It is hard. And I do understand why, not just women, I think everybody can get so confused of what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also these sort of, you know, the time frames as well with clients, you know, like, I have a very clear, like, you need to give yourself a certain amount of time. And it's about working on an aesthetic goal, but also an emotional or a different goal, like, are you feeling stronger? Do you run up the stairs and not get out of breath? You know, stuff like that. Because I think I know for myself, because obviously on prep I do it, you know, I've been really good all week. I've hit everything. I've done everything. And I haven't got massive results. Like, what's going on? Like, so I think you want it quicker. And I think that sometimes is a struggle for women, which is why when these things come in, it's kind of like they're quick, aren't they? They're quick fixes. You drink this, it's going to happen. It's like, no, it's not. It's so I do sort of, yeah, I do empathize a little bit there.
I'm pretty blunt now. I'm like, listen, if you come and work with me, you might not get the results in 12 weeks, three months. It's going to be a long haul, just depending on where that person is. Because I think, like you say, they're promised so many quick fixes.
Yeah.
But those quick fixes have landed them where they are today.
Yeah, of course. And also, like, you know, I say, and I'm sure you do as well, like, we get you to where you need to get to. We need to reverse you. We need to maintain you. Like, we need to get calories up again, because otherwise no one wants to live on those wherever they are. You know, it's about, you know, and I do find that the other thing is that a lot kind of go, I'm here now, I'm going to go on holiday, and then that's it. They don't really maintain. They haven't learned, and they haven't stayed long enough in anything to learn the maintenance.
I think we have a weight maintenance problem, not a weight loss problem.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. 100%.
What it is, if like people could learn how to maintain their weight.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have the yo-yo all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's talk training for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I know you love your training.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite exercise, first of all? I love to ask this question.
Oh, it's got to be Romania deadlifts.
Woo! Ah, you like the hamstring burn, right?
Hamstring and also hip thrust, yes.
Ah, so you're all about the glutes.
Yeah, all about glutes. Don't like training legs, I'm not going to lie. Most people love a leg day.
No, they don't. That's a myth.
I look and go, oh, got legs. How can I switch it? But then I'm like, I train legs 2 or 3 times a week. So it's kind of like, I've got to do it because I can't space it out long enough to be able to, yeah. And I love training shoulders.
Okay.
I do love training shoulders, yeah.
I think every video I've seen, right, you're always doing a shoulder press. It's so funny.
Love all about the shoulders for me and the tiny waist.
Yeah, that's cool. That makes sense. So what's your kind of training split at the minute?
So it's just changed. So I'm on a upper push and pull, but my upper pull has glutes like RDLs and some pull stuff on the lower, just because aesthetically my glutes are my weak point. So obviously we want to make sure. And also I've got this massive paranoia about, you know, when you get lean or when you get stage lean, you do lose muscle mass. So for me, I don't want to be scrawny looking. And that was my worry a couple of years ago. I felt like I was getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but there was no shape. And now obviously I'm a little bit older. I kind of like the shape as well. I don't want to get, isn't that really weird? I spent years wanting to be skinny and now
you want to get bigger.
I do not want to. Yeah. I want like my glutes and I want a small waist and a flat tummy, but it's, and then I have 2 leg sessions. So very, very lower focused. I don't do a lot of back, which I don't mind because training from home back's quite hard. Like I like to hang off the lat pull down and stuff like that. But my back's quite wide and quite muscular. So my genes seem to be my back's good and my hamstrings are good. My glutes are rubbish and my tummy takes forever to lean down.
Yeah, that's a really big one for ladies. Because I don't know, maybe this is wrong for me to think. I think evolutionary wise, I think women have always going to have that kind of rounded stomach just because of, you know, ovaries and just...
Yeah.
You know, reproductive stuff, right?
But
women are really, but the first thing they come to me is I want to lose my belly.
Yeah.
And always.
And you know, most quit before they get to that stage because it comes hip here. And I still get clients, even though they know we can't spot reduce, but it's still that I want to focus on this area. Well, you need to work the bigger areas. We are, trust me, we're focusing on that area, but we're just, you're not feeling like you're focusing on the area. It's always the last. And for me, for stage, it's always the last. Like literally, when I get my bikini made, I'm like, can you put it like two, like I like it a bit higher because I always feel like I'm not going to come in. And it comes in right at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Just when I think, no, it's not going to happen. It just at the last minute.
So you're very much like me where I'm like, if I don't program enough, and I'm going to say in inverted commas, core exercises, clients are like, oh, but I want more core. And I'm like,
I have it too.
Yeah, well, I'm like, are you gonna plank all day, or what's the goal here?
Yeah, I think it's because we kind of feel like if we're working in that area, we're doing something about it. And I understand, obviously, you work your core and it supports the back and everything. But also, I always say, like, if you're training and your posture and you're working your core anyway, because otherwise we'd be like this, wouldn't we? We have muscles in there. We are using them. It's whether we engage them or not. I don't do any core work. So I'm quite shocked because they'll be like, I haven't got any core. I'm like, do you want some? Because if you feel like you want some, I'm going to put some core in there. I don't do my core. I can't remember the last time. I think I did my core about, I couldn't even tell you.
When you're like 20.
Yeah. I do engage my core through training. I do, like, you know, I pull up, I do engage it, and I still have a flat tummy, so...
And that's why I hate things like plank challenges. I'm like, people come to me and go, Greg, do a plank challenge. Why? Yeah. Like, what's the application to real life?
Yeah, of course. I know that, I don't know if you found this, but I have some that don't like press-ups. Women don't like press-ups because they can't do them. And they kind of feel like they don't want to do them. But I'm like, you know what? Like, press-ups are chest exercise.
Mm.
Like, this here drops. Like, you want to lift this with the naturally, we need to be, press ups are good. Okay, I'll do press ups. And then they become the triceps. Yeah. And then they say, but I can only do two or three. And you're kind of like, great, progressive overload. Done in three. Perfect. Exactly what we need.
And that's a real missed thing, yeah. I think. Like, people, I don't think people really understand, or ladies don't really understand, what progressive overload really means. So what's the meaning to you? Explain it so that the listeners can...
Sorry, coughing away.
That's all right.
Making sure that you are taxing the muscle enough and challenging it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in some terms for my training, it's making sure that each rep is overloaded. But I guess for my women, that... Because at the moment as well, with the equipment at home, we can't do that.
Yeah, it's a lot harder.
I say it's just making sure that you are working hard enough, you're stimulating that muscle. We're not just going through the motions, we are trying to progress as much as possible, not just weight. Maybe it's the tempo, maybe it's, you know, there's other ways of doing it, but just making sure that we're not just, oh, I'm doing my rows and I've done my workout, and there's no tension.
Yeah, like, go slow. I think there is that temptation, and because of HIIT, I blame HIIT, which, yeah, just for listeners, HIIT is a circuit training that we used to do in church halls, by the way, just made it sexy. But I think I see people just trying to do as many as possible all the time, and more doesn't always mean better.
No. And it's hard at the moment. I don't know about if you find this, but obviously when you're setting programs, because some people don't have the equipment and the weight, you know, and obviously you've got certain amount of reps for certain phases, whereas at the moment it's probably a lot of high reps because of the equipment and techniques or whatever it may be. But I still say to them, you can still progress with doing that. Like, you're still going to get stronger. It's, I think it's, again, the textbook, isn't it? 10 to 12, 12 to 15, 15. Yeah. Not always like that. Everyone is very, very different.
Definitely. Yeah. Which is why nutrition and training should be as individual as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
No cookie cutter workouts, right?
No. I hate that. I think everyone is so different. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's got to be personalized. Like, I'm different to somebody else. Like, you know, when people say, oh, what split are you following? Or what are you doing? You're like, well, this is for me. This is my imbalances. This is strong. This is weak. This is what I want to work on. And even if it is for general fat loss or whatever it may be, I always think that you need to work the whole body as evenly as possible, because you need to make sure that you are balanced and there's no imbalances anywhere. And you normally, I think, I don't know about your clients, but mine sometimes find out that they've got imbalances because they start to have, and then they'll say to you, oh yeah, but I do sort of struggle sometimes. And you're like, well, you rear delt and your traps aren't working and you're slumped over. And yeah, I think goes back to the goal as well. I think it's like, actually, yes, it's the aesthetic goal, but to keep you going what are the other reasons that you want to do this or that you have to do this? So I always say to my clients, pick an aesthetic goal. Great. How much do you want to lose? 2 stone. We'll address the 2 stone with the weight later on. But then I always say, like, pick another goal, pick an emotional goal. Why can you not be like this? Could be most of the time it's like they don't want to be seen in their underwear at home by the partner. That for me pains me.
Yeah.
It pains me. Like, why would you not want to run around into your underwear? Like,
No. You want to get around, you run around naked.
That you don't want your other half to see you because you're ashamed. So let's put that in there and just, you know, and let's just put another goal. Like, where are your weaknesses? What do you struggle with? Just making sure, I think the more you've got, the more drive you've got to make sure you get from where you are now to where you need to get to. I think that's really important. 100%. Yeah.
Cool. So I guess I've got a few questions because we could be here all day.
No, we could. I said to you, didn't I? I'd be like, I'll just go make some lunch.
Bring it over. So what do you think is the biggest nutrition mistake that you see ladies make that they can rectify?
I think it's I would say trying to cut out and focusing too much on each particular thing, like getting too overwhelmed with everything. You know what it's like, calories, you've got proteins, you've got fats, you've got carbs. Like I always say, just go to the first thing, the calories, then go to the protein if you're finding you're craving or we look and think you've got problems. Doesn't really matter, just make sure it's balanced. Don't start thinking you can cut stuff out. I also say there's no bad food. Yes, if you're going to eat your calories in Snickers, not really good health-wise, but you know what, as long as the consistency of the calories over time and you're feeling good, then I think overwhelmment of the whole trying to hit everything perfectly just sets everyone up for failure, I think.
Yeah, I often find people are like, well, Greg, how many grams of carbs should I have? And I'm like, you're not prepping for a show. Hit your calories, hit your protein, chill out.
Yeah. And you only look at that when there's other stuff comes in, but that's only for personal. You know, it's also saying, well, someone said the other day, but I said, it doesn't really matter. Proteins, carbs, 4 calories per gram, exactly the same amount. I said, the calorie isn't smart enough at a certain to go, oh, I've just had 4 more grams of carbs. It's still going to be the same.
Yep.
Like fat's slightly different, but again, you know, you're only because of the 9 grams, your 9 calories, not the 4. But I just say, yeah, overwhelmment. Don't get too bogged down. And like, this process you should be enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Like it should be quite enjoyable. You know, like you should feel like this is a good thing. You're back in control. It's coming off. I always say it shouldn't be like pain and restriction and miserable. And it should be a celebratory process for me.
Yeah. So it's a learning and a discovery about yourself, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you'll never have to do this again, ever, if you do it right.
Yeah. You just live it for life, right? You know, then you can play with it and you can go up or down. Yeah. It's just such an empowering thing. Okay. So my last question then. For today, we're gonna have to do a repeat. Which exercise do you hate the most when it's
My clients know this, they could answer this for me. Bulgarian split squat.
No.
Oh,
we are no longer friends. You are banned.
No. I can't get them. I'm like, suck it up. They're good for you, they're good for your glutes, they're good. But I'm like, oh, I've got Bulgarian. I know they're good, but I can't stand them. They're tough.
I know, but they're my favorite exercise.
Oh, no way.
I love me. leave meeting. No, I had Susan Nabegal on the podcast a while ago, and we were like, when she comes to London, we're going to do a leg day session with Bulgarian split squats. But it is really weird that people, it's just how funny. Everyone's got different tastes in terms of their workouts.
So. Some weeks I don't like any of my exercises. I'm not going to lie. Some weeks I'm like, I don't want to do this. It's just, you know, but no, Bulgarians every week.
That you just gave me one last question then. Because as a coach, we're expected to always be motivated. That face tells me it all. What tell me what that face means.
So one, I'm like, Motivation is just your momentum. Like, that's what starts you off. So that's when I say, I'm going to do prep. I'm going to do this. This is great. My motivation is an emotion that is like, great. But it soon goes. It's the discipline then. Because I know I've got to work my ass off to get me to where I need to get to. Once I've built those little habits and I've got used to prepping and I forced myself to get my butt on the bike, because trust me, I do get that people think we wake up going, yay, I've got to do the bike today. Woo-hoo. Mm-hmm. No, I'm like, shit, I've got to get this done because it's part of the thing and I know it's going to get me. Eventually, give me sort of like 2-3 weeks, I so enjoy because I know where I need to get to. I'm so focused on the end goal that it just happens. And if I don't do it, that end goal seems a little bit further away. And that for me is pain, because yeah. I can't step on stage in a toothpick, not lean. It's not gonna happen. So for me, motivation and discipline, and I guess I could start off again, but it's, I'm not motivated. No one's motivated. Motivated is an emotion that sets you off. You have to get that shit done in the beginning. Build new habits. Trust me, then you'll be motivated. And it's the discipline when we plateau and we struggle or it's not working. Oh, my motivation's gone now. Discipline, let's go. Let's go.
That slows down people more, the stop start, than actually just carrying on.
Yeah. But again, you know, yeah, just I guess setting that when you start and embark on a goal and really digging deep and understanding that. I get it still. I'm not motivated.
Listen, I've got cardio today. I'm not in the mood for it. But do you know what? It's got to be done.
Yeah, exactly. Your discipline's going to kick in and kick your butt. So, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. So just for the listeners, where can they find you? Where can they stalk you?
You can stalk me. I'm not very good on Facebook, am I? I'm more an Insta girl. You can stalk me on Instagram at JJ Coaching. Yeah.
Awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing your prep.
Yeah. I'm sharing a bit more this time. So I'm just starting to share a bit more, which, like, you know, last time it didn't feel as, you know, it's quite hard as a coach, isn't it? Sharing your.
Yeah, because what we do is slightly different to what the general public was, but.
I've primed my clients and said, like new ones as well, don't go by what I do because it's not generally healthy. It's not, you know, I get so lean that it's not more, you know, and that's probably another podcast, but just use it as inspiration that I'm an age where I am and I can still lose weight going through all the stuff that I probably will be battling underneath. I refuse to say that I've hit menopause or perimenopause, but you know, it's like I'm 49. It's coming. It's,
yeah.
Also, age is just
a number. Love it.
Don't care. You never say to me, "Hi, JJ, how old are you?"
No.
My name's Meg. No one cares. I could tell you I was 32, 31.
Exactly.
Matter.
Exactly. Yeah, leave it there before we start again.
No.
awesome to have you on. We'll do another one soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
But enjoy your prep. Go smash it.
Thank you.
We'll speak soon. All right.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye.